CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman keeps the website to watch Big Space and Commercial Space. We begin with Big Space, Commercial Space. Bob, what is Starliner? It's been a while, so we need to review. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's been a long while. I mean, we've been talking about it on and off over the last, like, 7-8 years, but Starliner is the manned capsule that Boeing is building, or has been trying to build, for now 7 some odd years, in contracts similar to what SpaceX has with its Dragon capsules. Both companies got contracts from NASA to build a capsule to ferry spacecraft and humans to and from ISS, with the possibility that both would own the capsules and be able to sell tickets to others and make money on them. And SpaceX has done this. They started flying their Dragon capsule in 2020, and they have flown tourist missions of a whole bunch of kinds, including one that's coming up just in a short while for Axiom. But Boeing has had problems every step of the way and has not yet gotten a manned flight off with Starliner. It did a demo mission unmanned that was supposed to prep it for the manned mission. There were problems. So it had to do a second demo mission, and there were problems. And so the first manned mission has been delayed now almost a year and a half. And it's now scheduled for April of this year. But before it can occur, Boeing has to prove it has fixed the problems it discovered last year, only a month before the manned mission. And these are pretty astonishing, staggering, that the company discovered these only a month before the manned mission, after two demo flights and years of development. One problem had to do with the wiring within the capsule. They used flammable tape to hold the wiring down, which just floors me. It's beyond understanding, considering since Apollo 1 in 1967, we've known you don't put flammable materials into a spacecraft. But they did. So they had to fix that. That's a problem, and they've been working on it. But the other problem was also staggering. They discovered in the drop test during the second demo flight that the link that joins the parachute cable cords to the spacecraft, the fundamental link that attaches the parachute to the spacecraft, was too weak. Once again, this is staggering. We've been using parachutes to bring capsules down since the 1960s. It's not rocket science, really, when you think about it. And yet, this soft link was weak, and it was discovered only a month before the manned mission last year in June. So the story now is that this week they successfully completed a parachute drop test from a helicopter of the Starliner capsule, testing the redesigned connection between the chutes and the capsule to see if they work. Now, the parachutes work. The capsule came down safely. They were able to visually observe that. They are in the process now of analyzing the results to see if the strengthened joint will work. But that puts them one step closer, probably, to launching in April at last. In the interim, John, the Boeing's inability to get this capsule off the ground has cost it billions, literally billions. This company really has problems. We all know that from its airliners. But the reason it's cost billions is, one, they had to pay. It's a fixed-price contract, so they don't get extra money from NASA by being delayed. And doing a second demo test required them to pay the buck entirely, the bill. And in the interim, by not launching, SpaceX has gotten the manned contracts for bringing people up and down from ISS. So that's literally revenue they have not earned. And on top of that, all these tourist flights that are going on right now, private tourist flights, they're all going to SpaceX. Boeing, if it had been flying Starliner, would have been a competitor and maybe gotten some of that deal. So anyway, that's the story with Boeing right now. It's actually unfortunate. Unfortunately, it's become standard for the company, and it's very disappointing.
It's January, the new Wolf Moon, and SpaceX is ready. But what's the but, Bob?
Yes, as we predicted and last time I was on your show, John, the Artemis program was going to get delayed. And after I came on, they had a press conference which they announced, yes, they're definitely delaying the first manned Artemis mission on SLS. That was supposed to happen at the end of this year. It's going to happen next year. Ha ha. And the manned mission that's going to go to the moon, the third mission, and land, ha ha, is now delayed till 26. Ha None of those are going to happen in those dates. But in the announcement that they were delaying all this, they had a SpaceX official there to comment on the status on Starships, and Starship eventually will be the lunar manned lander. And her name was, I don't have a name, it doesn't matter. She said that SpaceX now hopes to be ready to test Starship and Super Heavy on its third orbital test mission by the end of January at the latest. They'll be ready. And this is later than Elon Musk predicted. That's not surprising. He always gives very short timelines. But it's not unreasonably late compared to his. He'd said end of December. They've already done static fire tests of both prototypes. By the end of January, that's not unreasonable. But they ain't going to launch at the end of January. The SpaceX official also said that they won't launch until the end of February because they'll be waiting for a month at least for the federal authorities to give them their launch license. Now, it's very important to understand what SpaceX is essentially saying is that they're going to complete their investigation of the November test launch sometime this month and then give it to the FAA. Now, the FAA does no investigations of its own. The GAO has confirmed this. It does not do the investigations. It just basically rubber stamps what the companies do in these kind of situations. But as it did after the April launch, it's going to sit on SpaceX's investigation for a month to make it appear that it's doing its own investigation. It's not doing anything, but it's going to do that. It's going to sit for a month basically filling out paperwork while SpaceX sits and can't launch. So that's the situation here. I had predicted in November that the launch would happen sometime in the February-April timeline. A lot of people were saying much sooner. I later refined that to say no earlier than March. And right now, end of February, I don't believe it. It's most likely going to be sometime in March that they will finally be able to launch. And the reason it'll take so long is the government. They can't develop this rocket in time and this spacecraft in time for NASA's lunar landings if they're limited to only 1 to 2 test launches per year. SpaceX wants to do at least 5 or 6 per year, and they can't get this rocket and spacecraft ready with that kind of, with the government slowing them down so much. But that's where we stand, and that's one of the reasons I am skeptical of any dates NASA gives for the Artemis program.
Peregrine, what's happened, Bob?
Yes, Peregrine is Astrobiotics' private lunar lander. It was taking NASA payloads to the moon. It was successfully launched on ULA's Vulcan rocket on its first launch, but they had a fueling very shortly after launch, and they're not going to be able to land on the moon. The company, though, is doing a pretty good job of keeping this thing alive. It's in a long, elongated Earth orbit. I've got a diagram on behind the black so you can see exactly where they expect it to fly. That elongated orbit takes it beyond the moon's orbit, but it's arriving at that point at the wrong time because it couldn't fire its engines properly to get it into the right orbit. And so it's going to miss the moon and then fall back to Earth. We don't know what will happen after it falls back to the Earth. They have managed to now successfully receive data from all 9 payloads that are designed to communicate with the ground. And therefore, they're getting data back on those payloads. So that's something. And so they're managing to power the spacecraft up. They've also managed to keep it alive much longer than expected. They now think they can keep it alive for at least another 2 days. That's pretty good, considering. Now, their main goal was to land on the moon. This is an engineering test, in a sense. It's to prove out their systems. And they're going to prove out a lot of systems by keeping this thing alive and dealing with the problems. This is good. It's an engineering test, so failures are not unexpected. The sad thing is they will not be able to test the mission's prime goal and a landing on the moon. That is going to have to wait for later missions, John.
The New Glenn rocket, does it exist? Is it real, Bob? It's on the launch pad, ready to go?
It's real. We at least have a real first stage. It's not on the launch pad, but Blue Origin this week transported the first stage. It's a very big rocket. The first stage transported it from its factory to the launch pad hangar. This is not the launch pad, but it's the hangar where the rocket will be assembled. So the first stage has arrived. It's arrived! My God! This is only 4 years late. Just a detail. But Bezos has said he hopes to make the first launch by the end of the year. This indicates maybe that's going to finally happen. And I would say hallelujah, because even though I've been very critical of New Blue Origin's slow pace, I want them to succeed, because we could have two different big rocket companies competing with each other. It would be the best thing for the American space effort. So he's getting close. The report also indicates that they're beginning to ramp up production of BE-4 engines. They're going to need at least somewhere between 12 and 20 this year to do both the ULA's launches of the Vulcan rocket and that first launch of New Glenn. And it's still a question mark whether they can meet those that demand. But it appears they're getting closer, and so we should keep our fingers crossed. We might finally see Jeff Bezos accomplish something in space.
The launch pad, is it in Florida or in Texas?
Yeah, this is all in Florida. They have a facility in their leased facilities, in their leased facility at Cape Canaveral,
right,
that assembles the rocket, and then they move it to their own leased launch pad at Cape Canaveral, just like SpaceX does. And so, yes, it's all there. They build their engines in Huntsville, Alabama, but then they and test them at another facility, I think, in Texas. And the BE engines, the BE-4 engines they're going to use on the Vulcan rocket that's launching in April on its second flight, they're being tested in Texas right now just to make sure they're flight worthy. And so that's where they're operating.
All right, Blue Origin is participating with Sierra Space with a space station private called Orbital Reef, and there's another one called Starlab. How are they doing, Bob?
Yes. NASA had originally given out contracts to three different consortiums to build space stations. The third was Northrop Grumman. You've listed two. Northrop Grumman, a few months ago, abandoned its effort and joined up with the Voyager Space Starlab Consortium. And because of that, the money that NASA was going to award Northrop Grumman for its station became available for the other two stations. So NASA this week announced that $100 million was going to be split by the two stations you mentioned, John. Starlab is going to get $57.5 million extra, and Orbital Reef is going to get an extra $42 million. And this is not extra money that NASA hasn't appropriated. This is money that had been appropriated, but now it's going to two stations instead of three. Now, there's a third private station being built in America by Axiom, and that's being developed. It's going to put modules on ISS and then undock eventually to fly free. And we have a fourth station being built by a company called VAST that has teamed up with SpaceX, and they're not tied with any government operation at all. They want to launch the first modules on Starship and Super Heavy. So in the U.S., we right now have four space stations under construction, John.
The coast of Oman, much in the news, Bob, because of the hijacking of a Iraqi fuel-filled tanker, Marshall Islands Flag, off the coast of Oman. But now there's a spaceport proposed. Where?
Well, Oman is located in the Middle East on the coast of the Indian Ocean. And it's actually a good location to put a spaceport. And so space agency for Oman, called NASSCOM, that's his acronym, has announced that they are working with a private Oman commercial company to establish a spaceport in a town called Dukma, which is on the coast of Oman, and it's actually a good location. They are trying to set it up to meet FAA standards, and they're trying to work it out with the U.S. to allow U.S. rockets to be placed there. There are major, major regulatory hurdles here, because obviously Oman is not necessarily a place you'd want to put American rocket missile technology, and State Department restricts that. But they're trying to remove those restrictions to try to get this to go. The location, once again, is a really excellent one, but once again, I don't know if they'll get the permission from the U.S. companies to do this.
It's a rough neighborhood, Bob. All right. Bob.
Yes, it is.
Bob Zirin.
Yes, it is.
I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.